If you would, please open up with me in your scriptures to Isaiah chapter 7. If the bulletin is to be believed, that's page 572 in the Pew Bible. While you're opening up there, we have transitioned from a series in Peter, which carried us all the way to the Advent season, to an Advent series. It's titled A Promised Coming. The reason why is because we're speaking particularly the coming of Jesus Christ onto this earth. That's not only found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, however. It was prophesied from long ago. One set of prophecies that we'll find ourselves in for the next couple Sundays is the book of Isaiah, namely chapter 7, 9, 11, and 12. We find ourselves here then in the first one of this series, a revealing name. You heard me mention it to the children. You'll hear it again. Isaiah 7, 14. My desire for us as we go through these prophecies is to see and to realize that Jesus' foretold birth, coming on the scene, as I said, is quite a remarkable event, and one that should have lasting ramification on our worldview, on our frame of mind at Christmas, and all throughout our lives, even on January the 1st. And so having said that, I usually have a question that I seek to answer that I believe the text answers. This morning, I think that a statement might be better for us, a statement proven by this one verse. Here's the statement. God works miraculously on our behalf by saving and blessing us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you open up your word to us with this one verse, the ramifications for the eternity of history lay before us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would come at it with that frame of mind, recognizing that this is speaking of you, God, that this is speaking of Jesus taking on flesh, that good news of Jesus living a life and dying a death for us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, in Jesus' name, amen. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Our three points this morning are going to be a building, a proof building. The first point is God is the one working on our behalf. The second point is God is the one working miraculously on our behalf. The third point then fills out our statement. God is the one working miraculously on our behalf by saving and blessing us. First then, the first part of verse 14, God is working on our behalf. You see it here with me. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is a fundamental truth of Christianity, that God works on his people's behalf. It's fundamental to how we live our lives and to how we see things. For instance, you know, God was there in the beginning, creating. Well, he was doing that on our behalf, for we are his ultimate creation. I'm speaking of humanity. He created all these things, and he created them all good. He created mankind very good. We are after his own image. We are, as it were, prepared to be the ones who exert our dominance over the earth. The earth is for us. It is our playground. God has given us these things. I think about it in two ways when I think of creation and how God is working for us on our behalf. I think about strawberries and my best friend. I don't know why it is that every time I eat a piece of fruit that I think and praise God, but I do. Maybe there are these kind of weird moments for you as well. But for me, I am astounded by the variety and the sweetness and the sourness and the just absolute beauty that fruit is. Who in the world could have thought of all these tastes and all these shapes and sizes and vibrant colors? It's wonderful. I love it. And so every time I bite into a strawberry and it's so good, I praise God because I think, how in the world could this be created just for a bird to eat it and to take it and to put a seed somewhere else? It's not the most efficient way. It is beautiful. It is sweet. God created and is working on our behalf, even in fruit. It's a silly one, but it speaks to creation. It speaks to this working. And then I also said, my best friend, I'm speaking of Rebecca. You know, God created us, humankind, and he created more than one of us. Because we are meant to be in fellowship, not only with him, but with those that he created alongside of us. And so we have that sweet fellowship within the body of Christ. It's not just Rebecca, it's all of y'all. We have a sweet fellowship. God was working from the beginning to create these things for us. They are all set in place for a reason. God was there working. We also see it in this time. And we'll use, it's kind of before Jesus came on the scene, before the incarnation, before this Christmas moment that we're celebrating. God was still working. The Old Testament, if we want to kind of put that in quotes, because it's not old. It's more like kind of before Jesus, pre-Jesus' incarnation. There were things happening in the Old Testament where God was revealing that same Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the people of Israel, God's people, the apple of his eye, were saved in the same fashion that we are. Belief in God and belief that he is Savior. There was no difference in their faith system. They believed in capital L-O-R-D, as we see it in our English translations, translated Yahweh, which means I am Jesus himself. If you think about it, all throughout the Gospel of John and elsewhere, is claiming the I am. He is God. And so as the people of God in the Old Testament were crying out to him, save us! We believe in you! He did save them. He was working on their behalf. We see here, particularly in Isaiah 7, the context in which this prophecy lays itself out is King Ahaz. And they're really scared because this giant army is coming to kill them. They're scared out of their minds. And yet the Lord promises that he will keep them and he will protect them and he will work on their behalf. He is working for them even there. And behold, he will even give them a sign of something more, far more powerful and with much more ramification than just a measly, worldly army of thousands upon thousands of war-torn and scarred men. No, that's nothing compared to eternal damnation. But he even has an answer for that. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. As God's people now, past Jesus' first coming, Jesus has been born. We see the whole story of the gospel play itself out before us. But sometimes we can forget the miraculousness of not only that story, because we see supernatural happening there, but we can forget the miraculousness of our own faith, of our own salvation. You know, this Christmas season, we speak of Jesus being born. The reason for the season is Jesus, and on. And we think about our own faith, how we have been born again. And yet when we use these words somehow or another in our southern culture, perhaps, it has become mundane, run-of-the-mill. And yet the reality of new life, of being born again, of that true change in your heart when we confess Jesus Christ and believe in him, that real and palpable heart change where everything about you is different. And yes, you still mess up. We still sin, but we desire to kick that sin and to move towards the Lord and to seek and to praise and to help others and to serve and to love. That's a miracle. It could not happen apart from God supernaturally working on yours and my heart. God is working on our behalf. The bottom line, God worked, God is working, and God will continue to work on behalf for his people. Believe it. As I was saying before, if we're not careful, we will miss this miraculousness here, but we may miss it in the Christmas story as well. This is our second point. It fills out our statement just a little bit further. God is the one working miraculously on our behalf. So he is working, but he is working very miraculously. We see that in the second part. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. What does a bronze serpent, a whale, and a virgin birth have in common? Well, they're all miracles that point directly to Jesus Christ. All right? We see God's people in the wilderness. They go against God. They sin. We shouldn't look down on them because we oftentimes enter into the same sin that they were entering into, grumbling. They began to grumble and grumble. And then the Lord sent judgment upon them, and they cried out, God, save us! And so a bronze serpent was erected at the instruction of God. Look at it and you'll be saved. Of course, we see Jesus himself tell us in the New Testament, John chapter 3, well, that was about me. Just as that bronze serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Likewise, Jonah and the whale, right? I was speaking to the whale. Well, Jonah gets thrown overboard. We kind of, maybe most of us know why, but he was running away from the instructions of the Lord. So he gets thrown overboard in order that people on the boat might be saved. And instead of dying, a whale swallows him and he survives. And while he's in the belly of the beast, the belly of this whale, fish actually, whale's never mentioned in the Old Testament, it just says big fish. I like to think it was a whale. It's a big fish. A very large fish swallows him. And while he's there, he actually cries out to God, the God of his salvation. And then we see in the New Testament, Jesus himself say, you remember Jonah and that big old fish? Well, just as Jonah was in that fish down in the deep for 3 days and nights, so too must the Son of Man be. Must die and then be raised 3 days afterwards. He's speaking of his death. Jonah was revealing something of Jesus and his death, his sacrificial death on the cross for his people. And so we see in the virgin birth a very similar miracle. God is working to save his people. And so behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. What's the big deal? Because this is not some worldly son. This is not a son carrying with him the corruption of mankind. I spoke of Adam when I was praying earlier, our ancestor. We all carry his corruption. Even if we were to live perfectly, we would still carry the corruption of the sins that we have been born into. This world is not as it should be. But a virgin, God working miraculously, and a son being born. All of a sudden, there's an anomaly, an extraordinary moment. Not a glitch. There aren't any glitches in God's plans, but a blip. Something's different, and there's a chance. Let's go ahead and fill out the statement because it'll help us here. Our third point, and now we have the whole statement before us, and we'll finish the verse as well. God is the one working miraculously on our behalf by saving us and blessing us. It's the last part. Let's read the whole verse in its entirety, but listen to the last part. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. A Hebrew word. I know y'all love it when I use Hebrew in sermons. I actually don't do it too much. Imanu, that means he is with us. El, that means God. In other words, Emmanuel, God is with us. What in the world does that mean? Let's put some of the pieces together. We might see. God is a God who works on our behalf. Because he's God, if that work requires stepping out of the bounds of the ordinary into the extraordinary, well, he'll do so. He's God. I mentioned the good news earlier, and I kind of mentioned it in that God is working for us, but there's extraordinary components at play in the Christmas story. How are we born again? How do these things work? We see it in Jesus' birth, in this Son being born, God with us. It's the extraordinary part. How we get the life-giving change. You see, Jesus being born perfect because he no longer has this corruption in him is at the same time a 100% man and 100% God. This is integral to our Christian faith. We can't explain it more than that. If you hear people try to, be very careful. But that's what he is, because he told us. And so, because now there's this anomaly, there's this extraordinary moment where all of a sudden Jesus, God, is in a cattle stall, man, perfection is amongst us. God is with us. The reality of this helps us to see why we must believe in the virgin birth. Because if not, Jesus was sinful. If he is sinful, he is not God. But if he maintains his perfection, there carries with it the full weight of a perfect and spotless sacrifice on your behalf. The reality that Jesus being born in this cattle stall, being raised by a godly family, the reality that God himself by his Spirit began to inform Jesus, the reality that God the Father spoke to Jesus, confirming to him the call, the very reality that Jesus opened up the Scriptures, the reason we know that is because when he was a young boy, he was astounding the teachers of the temple. He knew the Scriptures, and he knew what they said of him. You think Mary just forgot about the Magi who came? About the star in the sky? About the city? All of the prophecies pointing right to Jesus. And Jesus, in utter humility, chose to give it all up and didn't once cry out to his God and Father, "Lord, give me all the power I deserve." No, he chose in utter humility to give it all up, to count not equality with God, and to live a life for you and for me. God lived a life for you and for me. Think about it. It's in all the true meaning of the word, incredible. And yet here we have it in our Scriptures. God is with us. It's this reality. This is what we're referring to when we speak of Advent and when we speak of the doctrine of the incarnation of God taking on the likes of sinful flesh, and yet his flesh was perfect. In closing, I would encourage all of us as we enter this Christmas season to hold fast to this sure and true statement. God is the one working miraculously on our behalf by saving and blessing us. And perhaps one further statement on the application here. Get presents for your children, for your family. Worry over who's going to host Christmas dinner. Worry over what you're going to make. Watch some of your favorite Christmas movies. Watch a moderate portion of football. Continue to do these things. This isn't a call for you to kind of totally remove yourselves from the lives that we live and from the culture that we find ourselves in. However, let Emmanuel inform those things. God has come. God is with us. And He has saved us through the working of Jesus. Have an eye on your conduct. Not because you're trying to maybe fill out your naughty and nice list and maybe make it a little nicer than naughty. That's not how God works. God has saved you if you believe in Jesus. And now our desire is to sacrifice and serve and love our neighbors. And there's another one. Have an eye for your neighbors in this season and continuing on. Let Emmanuel, God with us, inform you. It might look like an invite to dinner. It might look like just a listening ear at work. You would be surprised. It might just be a simple invite to Music Sunday next week. God works in these astoundingly mundane ways, and yet there is eternal significance to what we do. Hold fast to it. Let Emmanuel inform you. This Christmas, this Advent season, as we go through these things, how wonderful it is. But don't just let it be another season. Don't just remember these things nostalgically. Know them. Know them for truths. We are doing these things on purpose because they reveal Jesus Christ. They reveal what God the Father has done for us and what the Holy Spirit does every day as He has quickened us, causing us to be born again and to continue to grow as new creations. Know it. Hold fast to it. Don't let the season pass you by. Don't yet let your life pass you by. There really is a reason to be merry this Christmas. It's Emmanuel. God is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for Emmanuel. God is with us. For Joshua, he is the one who will save. We thank you for Jesus. For that Christ, the anointed one by you. From long, long ago, from eternity past, Lord, before time was, you knew. You deigned to save your people, wayward people, lost and without a shepherd. And yet, Father, we thank you for that good shepherd, Jesus Christ, being born, even as it were, in a cattle stall. God, I pray that you will continue to help us to have an eye on Emmanuel this Advent season. In Jesus' name, amen.